Company, State Farm, Geico, Allstate, and the like. They make billions and billions of dollars by keeping as much money as they can in their own pockets. Big companies with the deepest pockets and an army of lawyers, literally thousands. But at Morgan & Morgan, we too have an army of lawyers. And you know what else? Many of our lawyers came from the same insurance companies we now fight against. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, our army will fight like hell for you. Just dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Pound law, that's all. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of Golic and Wingo. Weekdays from 5 till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. A radio.com sports station. Data message rate supply national contest. It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
All right, this hour's word is gate. Text the word gate, G-A-T-E. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Again, text the word gate, G-A-T-E. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Brad Carson will have your next code word at 4 o'clock. One last time, this hour's word is gate, G-A-T-E. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win. Good luck.
Now for none, I took the heart away. 12 put me over, coming with it. They took my heart away. Heart away. Heart away. Heart away. Jumping it hard away.
Now, we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Four-star guard Boogie Ellis has requested and been granted a release from his national letter of intent with Duke. Of course, Memphis was heavily involved in his recruitment before he indeed signed with Duke. Welcome on a man that has written about it. Drew Hill of the Commercial Appeal at Drew Hill underscore CA on Twitter. Drew, how big of a surprise was this news?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously thrown a huge wrench into the equation here today of Memphis basketball recruiting, but this has been bananas from the start. You know, we recorded our podcast yesterday, and I mean, we were talking about all the, you know, sort of the David Winget speculation that started to leak out yesterday morning, and it just feels like we are never safe, especially as beat writers right now. There's just always something going on that you're chasing and trying to figure out, because it has just been absolute chaos since the start. So, yeah, this is just the most recent of all that, of that stretch.
I know you've covered football recruiting, and I have too. Where does this rank for you just in terms of it almost feels like it can change by the minute. You know, one minute it's the Tigers lead for R.J. Hampton. The next minute it's Boogie Ellis has been granted his release from Duke, and now the Tigers, if they have the opportunity to wrap him up, they should just go do that instead of getting into a battle where you come up empty-handed. Just in terms of how fast-paced this has been, where does this rank for you?
Oh, it's at the top. It's at the top. I really wish I would have been here sort of at the peak of the Cal years to see what that was like so that I could compare them, but right now, I've never covered anything like this. It's been crazy from the start. I probably would have said that before this happened today. I still would have said that because it's one thing after the next, man. It's all piling up, and I think this news today is pretty significant in terms of how this class might shake out, because especially in the situation that they're in, honestly. I think this gives them we were saying before they weren't going to strike out. They probably were going to get at least two prospects. But, man, now you're looking good for at least getting three. So it's been a ton of fun to follow. It's been total chaos for me. So much for getting a break once the season ends. That isn't going to happen with Penny here. It's just not. So, but, yeah, I mean, this is just the latest in a long line of things.
It's an important, or I don't know if important, but there definitely is a distinction between the Cal era, with in terms of recruiting and what we're seeing right now. And it's interesting because the Cal era, even though, you know, when you sign a guy like Derrick Rose and all the hoopla that came with that and whatnot, it's a completely different category with Penny Hardaway. And I think it's twofold. It's a different category with Penny Hardaway, primarily because now we are in the heart of the social media era, and that all this information is now being exchanged much more quickly. But the other flip side of it is oftentimes with Memphis under Cal, you kind of knew who they were getting. Like, you knew they were kind of quick to decide, okay, these are our guys, and to quote John Calipari, these are my guys, but it wasn't this day-to-day, you know, like, oh my God, all of a sudden they're in on RJ Hampton. All of a sudden Boogie Ellis decommits and the speculation immediately turns to Memphis. So I do think, as someone who's experienced both locally, this is even unlike anything I've ever seen. But let's get back on track with Boogie Ellis. How, you know, when you look at he decommits, how, you know, the presumption is, okay, well, Memphis was in it early. How much do you think Memphis needing guards and Duke now being full, how much of it do you think is coincidental? How much of it do you think it's Boogie Ellis maybe saying, I want to go somewhere else? Or how much do you think it could wind up being, hey, Memphis has got a spot and this could be done quickly?
From what I've been able to gather and who I've been able to talk to so far, obviously this hasn't been too long, but it sounds an awful lot like Boogie wants to make this decision and be done with it by the end of the signing period and sign and go somewhere else. So it gives you 13 days, really, which is insane to think about that he's going to do that. And I actually think that sort of helps Memphis's chances, given before they were in a good spot for him. And I can confirm that they've already expressed interest in getting back into his recruitment and trying to sign him. So, yeah, it's I don't want to put a percentage on it, but they're going to go after Boogie Ellis, and they're going to go after him hard here. And I think that he would be an excellent prospect to add. I don't think you should look at it as Boogie Ellis or RJ Hampton. You should look at it as a chance to possibly sign a five-star guard by some platforms, and by the 247 composite, he's a four-star guard, but he's a top 30 player. He's an excellent scorer. He can shoot. This is exactly what Memphis needs. They need this. And he would be a fantastic asset to add. And I think that today is certainly good news for Memphis. Because, you know, you do see some people that are like, well, what does this mean for RJ Hampton? And right now, I mean, it's not fair until, you know, RJ or Rod comes out and says something's changed to assume that anything has changed with RJ. So, you know, this is good. This is a good thing for Memphis. They're in a good spot for an excellent player that could really help them. And, you know, I expect Memphis to be in it all the way to the end with Boogie again.
You mentioned, you know, how this relates to RJ Hampton and whatnot. The first question that leapt to mind, though, for me is, on the flip side, is it possible that, you know, there were a lot of people that thought Duke and RJ Hampton were a good fit. Then, of course, you start to see RJ get, you know, RJ removes him from his Final Four and whatnot. Is there any chance that Duke started to get back into the fold with RJ Hampton, and then therefore this is what happened with Boogie Ellis decommitting?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that there's not a chance, because there's certainly a chance, and it really does look like that, right? I mean, Boogie at that point, with them recruiting RJ, had RJ decided to come to Duke, really, you know, they've recruited over him at that point. So it wouldn't make a ton of sense for him, a top 30 player, to be there. Well, he would think that it wouldn't make a lot of sense for him as a top 30 player to be there in that same spot, wanting that exact same role that RJ Hampton would get. Now, I mean, RJ has yet to say anything about, you know, adding Duke to his list again, But now Duke is in the market for a ball dominant scoring point guard that they just lost. And that's exactly what RJ Hampton is. So it's going to be certainly something interesting to watch.
Drew Hill, of course, of the Commercial Appeal, at Drew Hill underscore CA, joining us here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeffrey Wright holding down the fort here. You can always follow me on Twitter at jwright929 ESPN. And then in terms of Boogie Ellis and what we see and what he brings, yet again, this is more and more guards that we're seeing that can score. We keep hearing ball dominant, ball dominant, ball dominant. What does this mean for guys like Tyler Harris, guys like Alex Lomax that were clearly focal points for Penny Hardaway, clearly priorities in his first signing class, albeit a transition class? What does it mean for these guys?
I mean, at this point, after watching all this recruiting and how it's gone down, I mean, they understand what it means. They understand that it means that they're going to have significant competition next year. And it's sort of, in a way, it's the same thing that happened last year. I remember Alex Lomax and Tyler Harris, they started at the beginning of the year, and people were kind of like, that's interesting. You know, Penny has these five seniors, and he's choosing to start the freshmen over them. And Penny came out and just said, well, the freshmen sort of shocked the upperclassmen and were just better, you know, in practice and beforehand. And so it made sense to start them. Well, I don't think Penny would be afraid to do the exact same thing this year. If he has these freshmen come in and they outplay Alex and Tyler, and frankly, you know, if it's a guy like RJ Hampton, people would expect him, a guy that could go in the lottery of the NBA draft, to outplay them. And yes, I mean, of course it could affect their roles, but at this point, you know, they have that vision. They can see this unfold in front of them, and make a decision for their future. And for those guys right now, I think they were happy here last year. It makes sense for them to be here. It's hard for me to imagine a team where they have no role at all. I mean, they are going, of course, they're good players. They're going to have a role in some way. It just may not be what they envisioned if Memphis signed this super class.
Obviously, the news of the day, we can be prisoners of the moment at times. RJ Hampton, Boogie Ellis have been at the forefront recently. Two guys, though, that the Tigers are very in on, and it's been quiet on the recruiting front, Lester Quinones and Precious Achiuwa. Where do you see it falling right now? The speculation with Lester is that it would be a shock if it's not going to be Memphis. A lot of people that cover recruiting with Precious Achiuwa, it's almost like whichever team you cover, that's kind of where you think he's going to wind up going. How do you see these two recruitments playing out?
I would be surprised if they don't get Lester Quinones. I would be really surprised, actually, if they don't get him. And from what I've been able to gather, the staff is very confident about getting him and Precious. So if I'm hearing that the staff is confident that they think it's going to happen, and it was interesting to listen to RJ Hampton this weekend at the Nike EYBL event, he all but penciled in Lester to Memphis. He said he thinks he was going to be committing to Memphis soon, which he's making his decision on May the 10th. So that would be the case. So, you know, I feel like Memphis at this point thinks that they can get hit, that both of those players. So, you know, if they think that way, there's no reason not to be confident about it. Yes, I could totally envision both of those guys ending up at Memphis at this point.
What's the latest on Rajon Tucker, the grad transfer guard, led, of course, Arkansas Little Rock in scoring last year? He's made his visit. He completed his visit with Memphis over the weekend, also scheduled to work out in the combine this week. I believe he has an Iowa State visit lined up, perhaps a Kansas one as well. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, he's going to be a little bit more tricky because his process is going to go a lot longer. So, you know, if a guy like Boogie Ellis commits, that sort of changes things. I mean, it could change things. We assume that maybe it could be RJ and Rajon Tucker. And if in that case, you know, you're adding two more guards that way. Maybe it could be RJ and Boogie or Rajon and Boogie. And I mean, we would just have to wait and see. And with him, he's going to take some time. He's got to go play in the combine, and he's got to sort of weigh out the rest of these options. So with him, once this picture is sort of painted a little bit, once they get started on it, it'll come more become more clear what their chances are with Rajon. But as of right now, you know, I think he enjoyed his visit here, and they would be in a good spot for him as well. But we'll see what happens in front of them.
I believe both you and I would presume that Lester Quinone seems like almost all but assured to be a Tiger next year. That seems to be the most likely of these guys that we're mentioning. But with the other guys, if it's Precious Achiuwa, if it's R.J. Hampton, if it's Boogie Ellis, Rajon Tucker, how would you rank it in terms of likelihood to be Tigers from most likely to least?
Okay, so people have been doing this all day. And I know I noticed, you know, John said he didn't want to back himself into a corner when he was posed with this question. I kind of feel the same way.
Jonah did as well.
Yeah, because, like, seriously, we've seen how much all this stuff changes every single day. Like, we didn't see this coming yesterday, so who's to say everything's not going to change tomorrow again? But at this point, you know, I think Lester and Precious, you got to put both of them at the top, Lester at the very top. And then with the rest of the guys, you just have to see how it plays out. It's going to be a little bit of a waiting game. You know, I think that they have a pretty good chance at getting Boogie. Maybe I would slide Boogie in there after those two. With RJ, it's going to be sort of a waiting game. It doesn't sound like they're planning on making a decision for a while. So maybe, you know, if they land Boogie, I don't think their chances would be fantastic with RJ. So, like I said, it feels like we've been waiting forever, and we got to wait a little bit longer. But it feels like a few of these questions, at least coming up within the next 2 weeks, are going to get answered. But at the top right now, I would put Lester and Precious.
One guy that's long for a long time been connected with Memphis in terms of recruiting has been Trenton Watford, but clearly that has cooled for several reasons. Do you expect that Memphis gets back into the equation in which we're talking about Trenton Watford in the same manner that we're talking about the Quinones, the Precious Achiuwas, the R.J. Hamptons, the Boogie Ellises?
No, I don't see that right now. Are they going to stop recruiting Trenton Watford? Of course they're not. But right now, I mean, it's been talked about, you know, from several different recruiting sites and people that it feels like Trenton is trending toward the LSU-Alabama sort of direction. And I think if you do add Precious here in Memphis, then you're worried about overlap a little bit. So I don't see that happening. But, you know, I would be crazy not to think that they were just going to stop recruiting him or have no interest in him. Of course, they would want him. He's a five-star player.
And then, of course, as you mentioned, the rumors surrounding David Wingett, it seems if you're reading the tea leaves and you're looking at how many guys that the Tigers are deeply involved with in recruiting right now, that there's going to start to be some odd men out. I'm not asking you to report and whatnot, but do you think it's more likely or less likely that he's a Tiger next year?
I think it's less likely. I know Jason and John talked about this on their show yesterday, and I don't really think anyone in town is comfortable saying a kid that's going to transfer is going to transfer before they put their name in the transfer portal. So, you know, for me, as a guy that writes things down, of course I'm not going to write that. But, yeah, I've heard the same sort of things that they've heard. I actually talked to David very briefly on the phone yesterday, and he did not have a comment on it. So, I wouldn't take it for more than that, but that's what I've been able to gather.
You and I have discussed during this time slot, we've discussed expectations for next year, and I think we were both kind of, you know, when the recruiting class, what it was, we knew they would add some names. We kind of thought, okay, you know, this is a team that if you look at what Cincinnati was this year during the regular season, if you look at roughly what their seed was, that seemed like a pretty fair expectation for the Tiger team this year. Now seeing what we're seeing in recruiting, have you changed your opinion on what the expectations would be for next year?
Yeah, if they land these guys, yeah, I'll change my expectation. At the end of the year, Penny was saying NCAA tournament. And it just felt sort of forced. Like, I get that there was national championship talk. Like, he did mention, like, the national championship is more real, and he's right when he says that. But I still think in his heart of hearts at that time, you know, when he said NCAA tournament, that's what he meant. But if you land this class and you have this super team and you go in to the NCAA or into the season as a preseason top 25 team, really I see it playing out where they could be top 10 if they do get these guys, just based off of where you see teams placed when they sign certain recruiting classes. I do think that AP voters would they'd have a good chance of landing in that top 10. And if you're there to start the season, teams that are there have expectations to live up to. And I think, you know, your expectation then changes and, you know, you got to expect them to be a Sweet 16 or Elite 18. I don't know about you. Are your expectations, have they changed at all?
So we had this discussion at the end of the show yesterday, and it seemed when you look at comparable teams. So let's give them Boogie Ellis, let's give them Lester Quinones, and let's give them Precious Achiuwa. If they add Rajon, so be it. But I'm just saying, let's give them those three guys. And if you look at where that would put them coming into the season, that puts them in the category of Duke and Kentucky. Duke and Kentucky, the last 4 years, have traded the top spot on the composite team ranking, recruiting rankings, and both teams have basically been... Each team had one second-round exit in the four seasons that immediately followed. I believe Kentucky had a Sweet 16 and two Elite Eights, and then I believe Duke had, I think it was a second-round exit, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, or two Elite Eights. I think it was almost the exact same resume. It seems weird to say that the expectation is the second weekend because, you know, in a 40-minute game, who knows what happens. At that point, you know, you got roughly the top 32 teams remaining, and if you tell me one team, you know, shoots the lights out of it, knocks you out in the second round, that's all of a sudden a disappointing year. I don't know if that's fair, but yeah, I mean, like, I just kept coming back to it. I think at that point the expectation is it has to be the second weekend. I'm not going to say the season was a failure if they were to make the tournament and get knocked out in the round of 32, but it does seem to me that the expectation is get to the second weekend.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I mean, every year Kentucky and Duke go into the tournament, their expectation is the second weekend. So I think, and they don't always make it there. You're right. But you can't, in my opinion, you can't let the unpredictability of the NCAA tournament really change that expectation. Teams get upset. It happens every year. But there are plenty of times teams don't meet expectations. And in that case, I would feel like they wouldn't meet expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it seems somewhat wild to think, considering how long it's been since the Tigers have been in the second weekend, it seems weird to all of a sudden say that would be a disappointment if they don't make the second weekend. But I think if you look at, and by the way, we're operating in the vacuum that no major injuries occur. I just think, yeah, if you get beat on in the round of 32, I'm sure, you know, depending on how the game plays out and whatnot, but it just feels like, man, that would be a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think anytime you sign a class like that, and you're only going to have James Wiseman once.
For sure.
You know, you might sign the top player in the country another year, but to have this homegrown guy right here in your backyard who looks like he's the favorite to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, he's sort of the consensus at this point. Those guys don't grow on trees, you know. The chances of that happening again are very unlikely. So I think at this point, you absolutely, you know, you have to raise the expectations.
Drew, we appreciate the time, my man.
Yeah, thank you. Anytime.
He is Drew Hill. Again, go follow him on Twitter, @DrewHill_CA. Again, his story is up over at the Commercial Appeal, commercialappeal.com, for the latest on the Boogie Ellis information. The Grizzlies have interviewed at least one candidate for the head coaching gig. They are interested in interviewing another. Welcome on David Cobb when we come back. Talk all things Grizzlies. Stick around. You're listening to 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tennessee, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You go in for a hug, but the huggy pulls up for a handshake. You couldn't save yourself from the crushing inner cringe of a handshake hug mix-up. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your dopey arms, extended like a wounded bird, have become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and emergency roadside service.
Huh.
And while hugs don't always go as expected, you could expect your local Geico agent to help you save even more.
Ooh.
You couldn't save yourself the embarrassment of a handshake hug, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years, the amazing work that Lee and Lauren Cooper have been doing at Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah office park. In fact, for 8+ years, because Cooper Systems, they've been a sponsor of the Gary Parrish Show since day one, and they've never left. That's a testament to them. It's a testament to you, and you've heard me tell you about the great work they're doing at Cooper Systems for a long, long time. Now it's time to hear from you guys.
Got a great deal on an Apple Mac from Cooper Systems. Literally half the price of the big box stores. I just searched before I heard about Cooper.
From the road a lot, and one day my laptop got the epic blue screen of death, and I thought I lost all my files. Cooper Systems was able to retrieve everything and even installed a new drive to make my computer faster and better than ever.
I'm one of those people Gary always refers to as the looking up stuff you're not supposed to guy. Yep, that leads to computer viruses. Cooper can take care of you, and like the ad says, they won't judge you.
That's Cooper Systems. Call them 360-9679 on the web. You can check them out at coopersystems.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number
30. Hey, you're that famous actress. You must travel so much. What's the best site for hotel deals?
Hilton.com.
No. One with crazy savings.
Hilton.com. With their price match guarantee, if you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off.
No, one with lots of options.
Hilton.com has 16 top hotel brands. Hampton, Hilton Garden Inn, Waldorf Astoria.
Hilton.com. You should totally do their commercials.
Expect better. Expect Hilton.
You're good.
I know. Thank you.
Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com.
Earn 2 times the fuel points at Kroger Thursdays through Sundays. Just download your coupon on the app or at Kroger.com. Limited time only. Restrictions apply.
Now, we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
David Cobb, of course, covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal at David W. Cobb on Twitter. Go check out all his latest over at commercialappeal.com. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Commercial Appeal to read David's work. All right, David, let's start with the biggest news that we've seen recently of the day. The Grizzlies are now in the process of conducting interviews for head coaching candidates. What have you made of the first two names that we've seen thus far?
Yeah, both of them a little out there. Alex Jensen is maybe one that not that surprised to hear, and really for that matter, the Lithuanian coach is what I will be calling him is not too much of a surprise either because he interviewed for the Raptors job last year, which is pretty interesting when you think about the connection there with Jonas Valanciunas because obviously. Jonas was playing for Toronto at the time. They're both Lithuanian. So I think it's more than a coincidence that he's gotten the interview here. But both names are not mainstream. They're not names that I had on my board. So obviously the Grizzlies are not looking at the Commercial Appeal to guide their coaching search. So that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I did the move this morning where you try to say his name. You try to say his name like 15 times in a row. And I do think... I think I feel pretty good about the last name. I believe it's Sarunas Yasikaivichess.
Yeah, Yasikaivichess.
I think, yeah, Yasikaivichess. And so
Yatsikaitis.
I will say this, though. I'm the guy that I'm also one, like, saying his name improperly, like, one time. That will get stuck in my head, and then I'll say it the wrong way. Like, I do it all the time with Jonas. Like, one time I mistakenly said Jonas, knowing that he was Jonas, but I think I was just straight up reading it. And, you know, we always got the Jonas Brothers on our minds. Shout out to him for marrying Sansa. So I think it was in that situation which I screwed it up, and then now I'll find myself, even though I know it's Jonas, I still say Jonas occasionally. And so I figured if I say Yasikaivichess wrong, I'm really only like one step away from calling him Janikowski.
Yeah, basically Sebastian Janikowski is interviewing for the Grizzlies job. Former Florida State kicker.
Yeah.
It's funny. Normally, I just have to know how to spell it, and I sympathize for you because you have to know how to say it. And, you know, spelling it is hard enough, but you can always just copy-paste. You know, it took me probably 2 or 3 days to get the spelling of Jonas Valanciunas' name wrong. But pronunciations are like a whole other ballgame. And, in fact, I've even noticed it with Joakim Noah.
Yes.
And I don't even know if I just said it right then.
I don't either. Because I used to think
Joakim,
it. Well, I was the exact same way. Like, I thought it used to be. It felt like when he was. And you were. I know you went to Tennessee. So it felt like when he was at Florida, everyone called him Joakim. And it was
right.
Joakim Noah. And then all of a sudden, everyone else started doing Joakim. And then I was like, well, is it Joakim? Then he started hearing, no, it's Joakim. And then I'm sitting there just going, like, well, is this just. Like, is it Southern people just going, no, it's Joakim? Trying to say Joakim. And so then I just got completely screwed up. And then it's like with Giancarlo Stanton. He started out as Mike Stanton, and then he wants to go to Giancarlo. It's like, I got no chance at this point, dude. Like, I'm just calling you Stanton at this point.
Well, and with Noah, you almost hear the J with almost like a Y on it now. Sometimes you'll hear Joakim Noah.
Yes.
Like Joakim. And it's... You know, so that one's evolved. I'm just grateful that my line of employment primarily requires me to spell, and I sympathize with you if the Grizzlies move forward in talks with the Lithuanian coach.
As long as there is a YouTube video showing me how to say the guy's name properly, that's great. I'll tell you what drives me insane. So I also call high school football games, and not every, you know, when you cover college football, everyone has a sports information department. And if you need to know how, because I used to call baseball games for when I was in college, and so if I needed to know how to pronounce a guy's name, I was always able to find the sports information guy. But in high school, it's not that. And so then last thing you want to do is
parents get mad at you.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's the last thing I want to do. But in terms of lining up with what this organization has set out with their plan for moving for the Grizzlies forward, it feels like both of these guys at least make sense in terms of candidates, right?
Yeah, I think with Jensen, you know, the thing with him is helping develop Rudy Gobert, which I think is a great feather to have in your cap as a coach. He's been a D-League head coach. In fact, I want to say he won a D-League Coach of the Year award. So he's got the head coaching experience. He's got the player development thing going for him. So that one makes a lot of sense. The Lithuanian coach, I think, you know, some people might say, oh, it's a coincidence and he's a rising coach and they would have interviewed him anyway. Well, what I'll say about that is that Jonas Valanciunas really, really liked the role that J.B. Bickerstaff established for him in the season's last half after the trade deadline. And I think Jonas was probably disappointed that J.B. was fired. And so I think the Grizzlies really want Jonas back. And I think that certainly, at least interviewing a coach that he could, you know, really jive with is a smart move, because if nothing else, it kind of shows some respect to Jonas, I think, and shows that they might be willing to sort of invest in him as a player.
Do you expect that the Grizzlies will make a hire before the NBA draft lottery?
I was talking about that this morning, and I definitely started out not thinking so. And I still kind of don't think so, but I wouldn't rule it out now, because at least they're to the point where they're interviewing people and we're finally starting to get some names, you know, out there. And so I think there's a possibility, but that lottery date is 12 days away. It's getting closer and closer. So I would be surprised if they've got the coach hired before then. And I think if you look around the league, other than the Kings, these other teams aren't necessarily going real fast on their searches either. The average coaching search last year took 34 days, and the Kings were the only ones to complete theirs sooner than that. And they probably wish that they had run a more thorough background check on Luke Walton. So, I don't I would be surprised if it's done before the lottery date, and frankly, it makes sense to wait because what you're selling a coach on now might be different than what you're selling a coach on after that day.
What's a more important event for this franchise, making this coaching hire or what happens on the draft lottery?
I will say what happens on the draft lottery because this franchise has shown that they're going to go through coaches, and if you look at their track record, the chances are, mathematically speaking, since Robert Pera became the controlling owner of the franchise, coach will be here less than 2 years if we're going based off the history. And so I think the draft pick has the potential to far transcend the tenure of the coach. And so it's not a guarantee. I mean, maybe the coach will last 5 years and the draft pick will only last two. We've seen that in Grizzlies history before. But I think the draft pick could be, obviously, if you bump up and get a Jaw or a Zion, it totally changes the franchise in a huge, huge way. And I think also that the possibility of conveying the pick would be a welcome burden still, something we haven't really talked about as much anymore, and I've kind of abandoned caring about now that it's in the hands of the lottery balls and not the Grizzlies' performance on the court. But I think that would still be something that they would be very interested in. So there's three or four potential outcomes in the draft, and the best one or two of them could be a really nice sort of relief for this franchise.
We're talking with David Cobb, of course, of the Commercial Appeal. He is the Grizzlies beat writer for the CA. Go follow him on Twitter, at David W. Cobb. I know this organization is buttoned up, and let's be real, it's gotten more buttoned up as of recently. If you were to have to speculate on would they prefer to get the number 4 pick or to get the number 9 pick in the lottery, which do you think they would prefer?
I would think they would prefer to go 9 because then they can in that case the pick goes to Boston, which on the surface, if you're trying to make it the case in your head for why the Grizzlies might be competing for the 8th seed next year in the West, that's not the desirable outcome. But if you look at it in the long-term scheme of things, I think 4 specifically is not as attractive as 1 through 3. If you made the question 3, I'd call it a toss-up. If you made it 1 or 2, I would say that it would be that obviously you would take the pick. But at 4, I think that you'd rather convey. You'd rather be 9th and convey the pick to Boston because then you don't have to worry about that in 2019 or 2020, and you don't have to sort of be held captive by this potential doomsday scenario of conveying this high, unprotected pick in 2020. So at 4, I would say, we'd rather convey. But 1 through 3, I think it's a different story, especially if you're 1 or 2.
How much does the ping pong balls and how they fall, how much impact will that have on the Grizzlies' decision with whether or not to keep or trade Mike Conley?
Well, I think a lot of it depends, too, on just what kind of offer they get. And it's hard to sit here and speculate exactly on what kind of offer that they might get from Mike Conley before free agency really transpires because, I mean, I think there's a good chance that a team that doesn't get the desired free agent that it wants, you know, could come calling about Mike later on in the offseason. And at that point, you know, you just kind of have to take – if you get a great offer, you probably have to take it unless, you know, other circumstances have come up. But so I don't know. It's hard to say exactly, but it could have an impact. I mean, if they don't convey and they end up with the number 8 pick and they still want to convey, I think they might be more likely to keep him. But if they do convey, they might be more willing to part with him for a more fair deal rather than requiring some team to come in and just offer them, you know, a boatload of assets. So it could have an impact. I think it will have an impact, but I think the more important thing is kind of what offer do they get. I think that will ultimately be the determining factor.
What do you think Mike wants to do?
I think he wants to go play for a playoff contender, and I think he's probably talking to Marc Gasol on a fairly regular basis and hearing from him about kind of how exciting it is to be in that position. And I don't think that any of that has anything to do with disrespecting or disliking or being animus towards the Grizzlies. I just think that he's at the stage in his career because he's told us that he wants to play for keeps and trying to at least feel like he's competing for a ring. And in his words, not just make noise. And that's the ceiling for the Grizzlies right now, is making noise. I mean, I would say the ceiling for this team next year is about like what the Kings did this year, which is make a run at the eighth seed, surprise some people for a while with your young core, and then you kind of fall off at the end. I mean, that kind of looks like what this, the best this team could hope for, unless they surprise us in free agency, unless they just absolutely strike it huge in the draft. So it's hard to blame him for that, but I do think that's what he wants, is to go play somewhere where he feels like he's at least in the hunt, where he feels like what he's going at when he's going out there and putting his body on the line night in and night out, he's doing it for you know, the chance at a title.
And then in terms of Jonas Valanciunas, I think obviously if the Grizzlies get the number one pick and then they have the rights to Zion, I would imagine that has somewhat to do with how they choose to go about the future of Jonas Valanciunas on this team. But let's say that the Grizzlies wind up with the eighth pick. Does it seem likely to you that the Grizzlies and Jonas try to work on an extension?
Yeah, I think so. I'm starting to wonder if they'll really try and sit down and get a long-term deal done this offseason. I think it might be wise for Jonas to wait until next offseason to take his player option, $17.6 million, come back, and then reevaluate next year. I know they say that center is a position of diminishing importance in the modern NBA, but if you look at this season's free agent class of centers versus next year's, he could be at the top of the board among free agent centers next year. And by that time, he'll actually have an idea of where the new coach, sees him in Memphis and how he might fit into this vision long-term. I think right now it's premature for him to agree to a long-term deal in Memphis because he doesn't have any idea exactly what the vision is for this franchise. And I think anybody would be hesitant to commit to an organization under those circumstances. So that's kind of what I would think would be the case for him. If the Grizzlies get the eighth pick, it would be to exercise that player option, get the feel for a new coach, and see if you fit here moving forward. Because like I said, you love the role that J.B. Bickerstaff had for him, but if they go out and get some run-and-gun, up-tempo offensive innovator who doesn't value the offensive contributions of a center, then that's going to, I think, really change his outlook on how attractive it is to be.
What do you make of the chances of DeLon Wright, of Avery Bradley, C.J. Miles? What do you make of their chances of being Grizzlies next year?
Well, Miles is in the fold. I mean, they could still trade him, but he's picked up his player option. So they'll have him back, and I think that's a nice sort of thing. I mean, you're paying a hefty price for a guy of his age with his skill set, but the skill set is nice, especially for a Grizzlies team that's had struggles from the outside over the last decade. He can shoot the ball, and he provides that veteran presence in what should be a pretty young locker room. So I think it's a nice pickup there to get C.J. Miles back. The one I definitely think will be back is DeLon Wright, because I think if, one, we're talking about, okay, there's a chance that Jonas doesn't have a long-term future in Memphis. We think he will, but there's a chance that he doesn't. And if all you have from the Marc Gasol trade a year from now is C.J. Miles on the end of the last year of his contract, then what did you really accomplish long-term for the franchise? So for that reason, I think that they're going to be pretty intentional about bringing DeLon Wright back. I think he proved that he could probably be an NBA starting point guard. And so I think that, especially since we think that Kleiman was the one who had a pretty big impact on that Raptors trade, I think he'll make DeLon Wright a priority, and Valanciunas as well. Bradley is the one who I thought when they first traded for him that they would try and find a way to keep him around because of their past flirtations with him. And he certainly played well with Memphis, but I have my doubts now just because of the $13 million price tag on him for next year. I have my doubts, that he'll be back.
What do you make of Chandler Parsons next year? Because obviously, he wanted to play, and we had the whole trade deadline drama. But another factor with Chandler Parsons is that J.B. Bickerstaff was a believer in Chandler Parsons. I would presume a new coach is probably not going to have the same belief in Chandler Parsons that J.B. Bickerstaff would have. Are we setting up for another awkward situation next year?
Potentially, but the more I think about it, the more I think there's a chance that they'll try and either buy him out or waive him via the stretch provision. Just to kind of for the sake of food for thought, or just because we're 12 days still away from the draft lottery, let's daydream for a second. And there's this sort of rumor online, when Tobias Harris enters free agency, that the Grizzlies might be a team that's interested in him. And say what you want about the Grizzlies' ability to attract a free agent of his caliber, but let's just entertain the idea that they have. That would be true, that they would go after a guy like that. Well, where are they going to get the money to do it? They would have to find a way to get Chandler Parsons' contract off the books, and the way to do that would be to stretch him. And so if you want to find a way to be optimistic about next season, not 5 years from now when Jaren's a refined player in his prime, but next season, then that's the way to do it is you clear up some cap space by waiving Parsons via the stretch provision. You trim a little fat around the edges, and then maybe you've got the room to go after Tobias Harris. And maybe he's at the stage in his career where he's been traded so many times that he's ready to sort of call one place home and be in a place where he can finally be the number two option, you know. So, that's the scenario in which I see Chandler Parsons not being back, is if they are feeling bullish about their chances on the free agent market and they agree to buy him out and stretch him. And he goes and lands somewhere on a veteran minimum deal to close out his career. So there's a chance he could be back. He's got a year left on his contract. He kind of sounded resigned to the probability that he would be back when he talked to us at exit interviews. But I can assure you that he would be open to continuing his career elsewhere if that opportunity were made available.
In fairness, J.B. Bickerstaff thought he was going to be back on that day too. All right.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to ask you, two of the younger guys that had flashes at times last year, Tyler Dorsey, certainly with his outside shooting, and then Bruno Caboclo with basically just his pure athleticism. How much do you think they factor into the Grizzlies' plans for next year?
Yeah, Bruno, I'm still very intrigued by. And Dorsey, too, but I worry about the Marshawn Brooks effect with Tyler Dorsey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, how Marshawn Brooks at the end of last season just went off and they signed to do a deal. And I think it could be a little bit of the same situation with Tyler Dorsey. He's a very, an average defender, an okay ball handler, a good scorer, very similar to the way Marshawn Brooks was. So I worry about, don't overinvest in him. Did he prove enough to warrant bringing him back? Yeah. If you're going to have minutes for him, if you're actually going to let him get in a rhythm like he did late in the season and play him, yeah. But if your coach is going to have him on a short leash, play him 12 minutes a night and then yank him the first time he makes a turnover or lapses on defensive assignment, then he's never going to get in that rhythm that you need him to offensively. So I would take Dorsey with a little bit of caution. But Bruno, I think, still has a ton of upside. And he got so much better as the season went on. And kind of the same situation with him. You need him to be getting steady minutes if he's going to, play at a successful rate. But I would imagine that there will be a role for him next season just because of his size, just because of the way he can stretch the floor and match up on some pretty good guys. There were times this past season where he guarded Kevin Durant, guarded LeBron James, and he didn't shut him down, but he held his own. And so I think he's a player for them. I really do.
David, we really appreciate the time, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is David Cobb of the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, we'll get into the Google Doc. We'll get into some of the big stories of the day that we haven't been able to get to. Stick around. You're listening to 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's Unicorn Cash.
Yeah!
Your chance to win $1,000 with the cash code on 92.9. Coming up at 4 p.m.
LSU announced last night that it has reinstated Will Wade as its men's basketball coach. So there's a lot of reaction to this on Twitter. Like, what in the world? How could LSU reinstate him? The transcript is the transcript. But technically, he never mentioned money. He never mentioned bought a player. He used words like deals and offers. These vague words. Now, to be clear, we know what they mean.
It's the Gary Parish Show, weekdays from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget Steak Night every Tuesday at at the downtown location and Thursday at the midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10 ounce filet or 12 ounce and 16 ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On steak night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house made ranch dressing and the twice baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. And find them on the web at BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey Midtown on Friday night, the Jason Foree Band. On Saturday, Mike Hostie.
I want to tell you about someone I met the other day, Will Chase, the president and CEO of Triumph Bank. Will is a lifelong Memphian who's been in banking for 41 years. Back in 2006, he was part of a group that decided to start a new bank, a bank that was a vital part of the community, a bank that strives to work with its customers to solve their challenges, that does everything within its power to say yes. That bank now has nearly $800 million in assets. Triumph Bank is powerful enough and technologically savvy enough to do everything the giant national banks do, but it's small enough and personal enough that Will Chase still gives his customers his cell phone number and that any employee can walk into his office and ask a question at any time. Heck, if you lose your debit card, you don't have to wait a week to get a new one sent to you in the mail. You can walk into any Triumph Bank office and they'll print you off a new one on the spot. So go see Will Chase and the rest of his team at Triumph Bank. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Hey there, bud. What's with the shocked look?
Oh, hey, Amy. I still can't believe Xfinity lets me choose from crazy fast internet speeds and pick the types of channels I want.
Yep. Now Xfinity lets you customize your package and save.
I know, right? It's like my wildest dream come true.
Really? That's your wildest dream? It's not like winning the lottery?
Already did that.
Okay, well, what about like a wildest dream job?
Amy, I'm a professional pizza taster.
Okay, then. Customizing your own package it is.
Get more of what you want and less of what you don't with Xfinity. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with a special offer on Xfinity Internet and TV for just $45 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security, safer browsing, and more. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Offer ends 6/21/19. Restrictions apply. New basic TV and performance internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including DTV fee extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Now, we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
You bring a girl to change my world. You are a girl for me. You lift the fuse. I stand with you.
A little bit of breaking news. Breaking news on 92.9 is powered by Radio.com Sports. It's brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. According to our own John Martin of the Jason and John Show, he just tweeted out that this is interesting. Rod Hampton, the father of five-star guard R.J. Hampton, just told John, quote, R.J. and Boogie Ellis is a strong possibility at Memphis. They definitely can play together. Again, there we go. That's right. Rod Hampton, the father of five-star guard R.J. Hampton, just told our own John Martin, quote, R.J. Hampton and Boogie Ellis is a strong possibility at Memphis. They can definitely play together. Again, breaking news on 92.9, powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. We got a Google Doc. That gives us all of our stories that we want to talk about. We've got a few that we haven't been able to get to. Connor, what do you want to start with, buddy?
Oof, I mean, this recruiting news is just every second. It seems like there's new things.
I will say this, and I'm for those that are paying attention, please listening comprehension here. John put that tweet out with quotes. That is what Rod Hampton, the father of R.J. Hampton, told him. I'm not disputing that. I am not taking any, I'm not rolling my eyes at that. It just seems highly unlikely to me that these events, R.J. Hampton reopening his recruitment and Boogie Ellis also asking out of his letter of intent from Duke, it seems highly unlikely to me that they were not related.
That's fair.
To me, what it what I think would be the most likely scenario is now again, this is pure speculation. This is no reporting. But if you were asking me to just guess right now, I would say I think it's likely that Boogie Ellis winds up a Tiger, and I also think it's probably more likely that RJ Hampton winds up a Duke Blue Devil.
Yeah, that's actually kind of where my line of thinking is right now. It would be unbelievable if RJ and Boogie both come to Memphis, but I tend to agree with you, Drew, Jason, and John in that the risk of waiting for RJ does not outweigh the possibility of getting Boogie Ellis right now with Precious and Lester. Like, getting those three guys is so huge for the Memphis Tigers that waiting for RJ is a little bit too risky for me, because you don't want to end up striking out on both of those guys.
Yeah, well, I would phrase it this way. Waiting on RJ Hampton, if the scenario is this, scenario one is you wait on RJ Hampton and therefore you ruin your chances with Boogie Ellis, then yes, I agree.
Right.
So if you're in a position where you can lock up Boogie, you can lock up Lester Quinones, Precious Achiuwa, and then that hurts your chances with RJ Hampton versus the possibility of maybe landing RJ Hampton, yes, I totally agree. If the choice is you can lock up Boogie now and therefore hurt your chances of perhaps having another shot at RJ Hampton, then yes, I do agree with you.
Yeah. So, but other than that, really, today we have an anniversary today.
We do indeed. It is the 11-year anniversary of Iron Man, of course, the very first of the 21 films? 22 films.
22 now.
22. So Endgame was the wrap-up of 21 films. The very first of Iron Man. The first thought I had when I realized this is it actually was encouraging. Normally when I hear today is the anniversary of something, it is wildly depressing. It's normally like, oh my God, I'm getting old, and that is sad. The fact that Iron Man was only 11 years ago, that didn't make me feel that bad.
No, what's odd is that Iron Man being 11 years old didn't make me feel old, but The Dark Knight being 10 years old made me feel old. I don't know why, but I think it's just because it The Dark Knight for some reason still feels like it came out like just a couple years ago.
The other thing that I started thinking about with Iron Man and the 11-year anniversary, whatever happened to Tony Stark's drinking problem? Like, all of a sudden, he went from being a roaring alcoholic to he doesn't drink anymore. Like, and that was never addressed.
I feel like somewhere, maybe in Iron Man 2, it got addressed, but everyone kind of just acts like that movie didn't happen. So we just don't really acknowledge it.
Well, I was thinking more that's Iron Man
3. Well, because he was drinking in the Avengers. Like, the first Avengers movie, he was drinking. So I can't actually, like, I'm trying to think of when I noticed him not drinking anymore. I think it was around Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3.
Yeah, I just that was always my question. Whatever happened to him being a roaring alcoholic? But that's where my head goes. Many thanks today to Ryan Glasspiegel. My thanks, of course, to Drew Hill, to David Cobb for joining us on the program. If you missed anything, you'll be up on the 929 featured podcast right after the show ends, which is now, because I got to make way for Gary Parrish. The Gary Parrish Show is coming up next.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN, WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. This is 92.9 FM ESPN.
Let's talk about service and promises. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark Spensdorf Realtors, the oldest real estate company in town, celebrating our 150th year this year. Have you tried reaching someone for service recently? How hard has it been? Has someone sold you a product and you were disappointed? I've been there just like you. That is why my real estate business is based on satisfaction before, during, and after the sale. You may have heard the corny phrase, when you want the job done, call Shell Done. Well, it's true. No rash promises, just a highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shell Bucks option that can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. If you or someone you know is thinking of selling, do yourself a favor. Always make sure and talk to 2 to 3 brokers and let me be one of them. I'm Shell Dunn Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. Whether you're celebrating an engagement, birthday, or corporate event, let Felicia Suzanne's host your special event. We have several private dining options and can accommodate both large and small groups. We can even customize our menu options to fit your taste and your budget. Felicia Suzanne's can also cater the celebration at your place. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com for more details.
MMA is back at the Fitz. On Saturday, May 11th, it'll be a night of hits at the Fitz. Busted Lips on the Mississippi. Don't miss 1 minute of it. Only at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Need new tires? Check out the all-new Cooper Discoverer AT truck and SUV tire. With superior highway performance and handling on rocky and gravel roads, now available exclusively at your Walmart Auto Care Center. Cooper Tires, American-owned since 1914.